As we enter into this time of worship, let us put away the pressures of the world to ask us to perform, to put on a brave face, to pretend we're on top of things and holding it all together, to make out we're someone other than who we truly are. Silence those voices that ask you to be perfect. This is a space of compassion and hospitality. You do not have to do anything special to earn the love and care contained within this community. You don't have to be braver, smarter, stronger, better than you are in this moment to belong here with us. You only have to bring the gift of your body, no matter how able, your seeking and attentive mind, no matter how busy, your tender animal heart, no matter how broken. Bring your whole self, all that you are, all that you love, to this hour. You are very welcome here. So let us worship together this day. Well, these opening words by Erica Hewitt, they welcome all those who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to those of you here in person at Essex Church in Kensington. Welcome to all who are joining us via Zoom from far and wide. Particular welcome to the Cardiff contingent who I know are joining us today. Whoever you are, however you are, wherever you are, you're welcome just as you are this morning. And for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall and I'm minister with Kensington Unitarians. In this morning's service, we're going to be reflecting on the untidier side of life. There's a quote from the much-loved meditation teacher Tara Brach on the front of the order of service if you're in the building, and if you're online, it's on our website with the whole text of the service if you want to follow along. Tara Brach suggests that there is something wonderfully bold and liberating about saying yes to our entire imperfect and messy life. So taking our cue from those words, this morning we're going to consider what might happen if we say yes to the mess. Let's take a moment before we go any further to settle ourselves, to arrive, to prepare ourselves for worship. We've each chosen to take time out of the rest of the week, out of our everyday doings, to be here together today. So let's take a conscious breath. And another one. And with each exhalation, let's visualize a letting go, a setting aside of anything we came in carrying. We can pick it up later if we need to. Let's bring our whole selves to the here and now as we consecrate this hour with our presence and intention. And I'm going to light our chalice flame now, as I do each time we gather. It's a simple ritual that connects us in solidarity with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over. And it reminds us of the proudly progressive historic tradition of which this gathering is part. This community is a fellowship of the progressive path, open-minded, open-hearted. At least that's our aspiration. This is a place to share insights and ideas, a place to foster faith, sometimes find joy, a place where we can be ourselves and let others do the same, a place where we can be real about our untidy lives and bring our confusion, our pain, even our despair. For this is the place for the whole of life's experience, as messy as that may be, a place for healing and solace, for solidarity and hope, for encouragement and nurture, a place to face this life in all its complex shadings together. Let's sing now. Our first hymn today is number 21 in your purple books. If you're in the room, come and find the quiet centre. It's one we sing quite often. For those joining online, the words will be up on your screen to sing along at home. Feel free to stand or sit as you prefer and sing out. Let's take all of those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into an extended time of prayer now. This is partly based on some words by Alex Jensen. You might want to adjust your position to be more comfortable, close your eyes, soften your gaze, put down stuff you don't need to hold. Whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together now, for us to be fully present with ourselves, each other, and that which lies within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very centre of our being. Your world become. Your will be done here on earth, inspiring our aspirations to do and be better people. May we have all that we need to survive, to live, to thrive. Remind us to be gentle. May we love mercy and kindness, recalling those times when we might have fallen short ourselves. Call us also to be firm. May we not be tempted to follow selfish motivations or reside in narrow privilege, unexamined and uninterrogated. Move us to counter and overcome injustice in ourselves, our lives, our very institutions. For yours is the beloved community, the fire of commitment in our hearts, and the spirit of generosity and abundance, now and always. In our company this morning and every time we gather in community, there will be those whose hearts are freshly broken open by all the world's sufferings, by loss and grief, rejection and loneliness, disappointment and meaninglessness, by all the horrors and injustices of this world that we witness with anguish and frustration. So let's spend a few quiet moments directing prayers of love and kindness to all those who suffer this day. In our company this morning and every time we gather in community, there will be those whose hearts are full and overflowing despite everything, buoyed by the beauty of nature and culture, comforted and uplifted by family and friends, aware of life's many possibilities and in touch with a sense of hope and encouragement. So let us spend a few quiet moments directing prayers of gratitude for all that is good in our lives. In our company this morning and every time we gather in community, there will be those who are simply keeping on as best they can. Their hearts a blessed, messy blend of life's mixed emotions in the midst of it all, seeking to discern the next step, the way forward, in an often complex and confusing world. So let us spend a quiet moment asking for what we most need to face life's ups and downs. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen. Time to sing again now. Our next hymn is number 104 in the Purple Book, Name Unnamed. Now, we haven't sung this in quite a while. It's a little bit tangential to the theme. The words describe lots of different images of God. It acknowledges God's presence in the messy, chaotic aspects of life, which we don't sing about so often. The words will be up on screen as well as usual. I'm going to ask Peter to play the refrain, and I know there's lots and lots of verses for us to learn it. This is a really long one, so you might want to sit down and save your energy. I think refrain and verse, because most people won't know it, I think. But yeah, five verses after that, so if you don't know it by the start, you'll know it by the end. Name unnamed.
Hiding the Mess by Barbara Merritt, adapted. About 6 cups of raw porridge oats fell on the kitchen floor. The top had been left off the box, and the cascade of grain was impressive. I got out the broom and the dustpan and started to sweep it up when my 4-year-old asked if he could have the job. All right, I said, and went on making the coffee. A minute later, I looked around and saw, to my amazement, that he was studiously pushing small piles of the oats under the fridge, into the fireplace, and under the kitchen counters. I screamed, "No, that's not how you sweep up oats. Put them in the dustpan." And he quietly replied that he'd been hiding the oats. When hearing my story, my brother-in-law's only comment was, "That apple didn't fall far from the tree." True, I have been known to clean up the living room by gathering up the piles of papers and books and putting them in the dining room instead. I have shut doors when company was coming rather than take the time to make a room presentable. But later that day, I found that the instinct to hide the mess goes deeper than that. I was at the hairdresser, and I explained to her that I was a nervous wreck about an upcoming speech. I wanted her to give me a haircut that might make me look cool, composed, and in control. I was hoping that the right coiffure might effectively hide my anxiety level. Then I put my back out. My doctor suggested that it might have something to do with the stress level I was carrying around about the speech. I told him in no uncertain terms that this was a ridiculous idea. My back went out because I lifted a mattress the wrong way. How surprised I was to discover, though, that immediately after the speech, my back felt perfectly fine. Even my body knows how to hide its pain away. The messy side of life is normal, healthy, and part of the creative process. Nature itself is wonderfully messy. Observe the pollen and the stringy stuff that fall out of maple trees in the springtime. Daffodils are glorious, but look rather bedraggled in late spring. Not all of life is pristine, beautiful, and orderly. And neither are we. It's all right to hide the mess, at least some of it, from the general public. Emotional overexposure is culturally acceptable these days, but it does not always contribute to the common good. Everyone does not need to know everything, but we shouldn't have to hide the mess from ourselves or from the people who love us, those with whom we are in community. Because in what we call the mess, creation itself is at work. This universe, our universe, is a place of life, growth, change, spilled oats, and great confusion. And out of that odd combination, somehow, the human spirit grows.
Thanks, Hannah. So we're moving into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a slightly unusual prayer poem to take us into the silence. It's by Cathy Stenter and it's called Ducks, a Blessing. It's a riff on the idea of getting all our ducks in a row as a metaphor for getting organised and tidy and on top of all the mess of our lives. Or more to the point, it's about not getting all our ducks in a row, which is the case for perhaps more of us. The words are going to take us into about 3 minutes of silence that will end with the sound of a bell. And then we're going to hear some lovely music from Holly and Peter to continue the meditative mood. So again, let's each do what we need to do to get comfortable. You might want to get your feet flat on the floor to ground and steady yourself. You might want to close your eyes. And as I always say, the words are just an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. Ducks, a Blessing by Cathy Stenter. God knows I don't know where my ducks are, so they aren't in a row. How do I prioritise? Everything is important. Schedules are nebulous, houses are messy, kids need attention. God, you know, the ducks are waiting. Sometimes they quack at me in the middle of the night. Is this how the prophets felt, chasing down the wild goose of the Holy Spirit? Did they know their ducks would never, ever be in a row? And that the wild birds of friendship, inspiration, food, silliness would be the wild blessings of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the ducks, silly, quacking, never in a run. Blessed are the messy houses, the children, the imperfections, the never-ending tasks of relationships and adulting, the quacking in the middle of the night. Blessed is the struggle, for it is real.
When Life is Messy by Richard S. Gilbert. I can't help feeling that any one of us could have written this, but Richard S. Gilbert did so. It's easy to pray when the sun shines, and we are grateful for another glorious day of being. It's hard to pray when the wind and rain and thunder plague our every step and spoil our every plan. It's easy to be virtuous when life goes well and our existence is a journey from bliss to beauty and back. It's hard to be virtuous when life assails us and our very being is a pilgrimage from bad to worse to worst. It's easy to be cheerful when health bursts in us so that we can feel the very pulse of life. It's hard to be happy when pain and fatigue beset us and we wonder if we can go on. It's easy to be good when our goodness is rewarded and we feel the power of pride in accomplishment. It's hard to do good when we suffer for our efforts and are troubled because we've been misunderstood. It's easy to feel religious impulses well up inside us when inspiration lives at our elbow and walks on our path. It's hard to feel religious when we are tired with work to be done and discouragement seems to mark our every move. O God of order and neatness, we give thanks for all that is good. We are grateful for the manifold blessings bestowed upon us. O God of chaos and disorder, be with us also when life is messy. Bless our coming in and our going out from this day forth.
Thanks, Juliet. So the theme of this week's service, the messy side of life, was inspired by something that happened to me last week, last Saturday, before I'd even changed out of my pyjamas. I was idly staring out of the kitchen window on Saturday morning whilst cooking my dad's porridge, and I noticed the chap who sweeps the street, he seemed to be lingering right outside, just a couple of feet away from the window. It was still quite early, and it took me a moment to realise what was happening. The man from the council had a hoe, and he was roughly chopping off all the flowers that were billowing out through the garden fence and onto the street. Californian poppies, geraniums, salvias, all these soft frothy blooms from my little patch of cottage garden. They weren't causing any obstruction. They weren't really getting in anyone's way as far as I can tell. It's more or less the only splash of colour and life on our street. Most of the other gardens have been concreted over for cars. And the little garden is always alive with bees. I'm quietly proud of this garden, as you can probably tell, but it's not exactly tidy. It's intentionally left a little bit wild. And it made me feel quite sad that someone felt that this little bit of wildness was not welcome on our street. It was too scruffy. And by order of the council, this man decided the few stray blooms breaching the boundary should be unceremoniously lopped off. I didn't say anything to him. And I've heard many similar tales of verges being trimmed and hedges being ripped up in the name of municipal tidiness when the wildlife might wish otherwise. But this experience got me thinking about the untidy and the messy in all spheres of our lives and our various degrees of tolerance or even acceptance of untidiness and mess in life. Tidiness wars have been going on for years in my house between me and my dad. My dad is Mr. Minimalism. He would very happily live in a Spartan home with a tidy lawn and perhaps the occasional regularly planted rose bush in the back. By contrast, it's not that I relish being untidy. I really don't. I like things to be orderly. I do. But by comparison to Mr. Minimalism, I am very much Ms. Maximalism. Somehow I've ended up with this role of being the messy one in our house. Down the years, I've defended myself from this charge by claiming that I just have a lot of interests. They all happen to have papers, books, equipment and materials attached, and they take up a lot of room and also a lot of my time and energy, which means I don't get round to bringing order to the chaos all that often. If you've ever come along to any of my online services that I run from home, or Heart and Soul, you get to see the one just about respectable view of my home, where all the recently acquired and as yet unshelved books are teetering in piles just behind my chair, and they're kind of arranged so that I block them out perfectly as long as I don't move. They're obscured from the camera. Now, while I might be able to just about get away with the claim that I'm rewilding my front garden for the sake of the bees, I don't think anyone's going to buy it if I say I'm rewilding my bedroom floor with a meadow of books. Untidiness in the material sense, having a cluttered room or a disordered house or a garden that's turning to wilderness, this sort of untidiness is, of course, only one aspect of what we're talking about today. The bigger picture we're considering is the very messiness of life itself. And I wonder what that phrase, the messiness of life, brings to mind for you. Maybe there's social aspects of messiness, tangled relationships, complex situations arising from the interaction of fallible human beings, flawed institutions in an imperfect world. Or organisational messiness in your own affairs, not being on top of things or not getting your ducks in a row, as the poem said. Or perhaps a more general sense of nothing being quite as straightforward as you feel it ought to be. It seems to me there's a lot of social pressure to have it together, whatever that means, or at least to look like you do. And I imagine it in some ways it would feel delightful to have it together, but that's a state of being that feels entirely out of reach to me, and perhaps I'm not alone in this. If anybody here today thinks they've cracked it and they want to give some tips to the rest of us afterwards, you know, please, please do. But there's something in me that strongly suspects that it is neither possible nor desirable to avoid life's messiness altogether. There seems to be a connection between disorder and creativity even, mess making space for some kind of emergence. So perhaps there is a middle way to be found. I came across a fascinating blog post from the author and therapist Lisa Oliveira. She's recently written a book on the subject of self-acceptance. And in this piece, she reflects on a line from Mary Oliver, beloved poet. Mary Oliver says, "Most things that are important, have you noticed, lack a certain neatness." And Lisa Oliveira responds to this. She writes, "It is an obvious truth I've been trying to accept my whole life, yet one I often fight against. I've been taught to strive for neatness, for clarity, for knowing, for linear, for the 1, 2, 3 progression of everything, for the clean lines and the clear before and afters and overcomings, and I'm past that, for the plan and the schedule, and that has it all together. We think we and life are supposed to be neat and tidy, organised and all ready for the photo opportunity. We think the sign of readiness is a lack of tangle, a lack of messiness. We assume we're the messed up ones if our behind the scenes secrets and processes and next steps don't look as clear cut and set in stone as they seem to be for everyone else. Living is important. Living isn't neat. Being a person is a lot more complex and complicated than those trying to sell us constant ease and tidiness want us to believe. So perhaps it isn't ours to fix at all, but ours to welcome, embrace, accept, understand, learn from, allow." Words from Lisa Oliveira. So all that said, I wonder where you'd place yourself on this messiness continuum, more towards the orderly end of the spectrum or more towards the chaotic end? And how do you feel about the place where you might situate yourself? Perhaps your life is pretty messy, but it suits you. Perhaps your life is pretty orderly and you long for a bit more creative disorder. Maybe there are aspects of life you could take in hand and get more of a grip on. Maybe other areas of life are simply out of your control, and working on a sense of acceptance of that could be your next step, perhaps in the spirit of the serenity prayer, those things we cannot change. Often there is something we can do to make our lives at least a bit more orderly and manageable, if that's what we're aiming for. But constraints on our resources, time, money, energy, health, support, these constraints can make it very difficult for us to get out of whatever mess we might find ourselves in. And as an aside, let us remember that even Marie Kondo, the renowned guru of decluttering, she had to let her hardline tidiness standards slip once she had kids. The more we're trying to juggle in life, the more projects, the more responsibilities, the more personal challenges that life brings our way, the harder it will be to keep up any semblance of order. It's important to bear in mind the many complicating factors that so many of us are contending with when we're trying to sort our lives out. And crucially, let's strive to be real with each other about what our lives are really like, as far as we can, because there's a great deal of comfort to be found in facing life's messy realities together. I want to close this reflection by sharing a kind of blessing, a kind of affirmation. It's taken again from that piece by Lisa Oliveira. Perhaps we can think of it as a prayer to say yes to the mess. She repeats the Mary Oliver quote, "Most things that are important, have you noticed, lack a certain neatness." When I hold this as true, I care less about neat. I want to let it all be untidy. Letting it all be untidy means dropping my ideas about how it should go so I can more fully lean into how it's actually going. Letting it all be untidy means surrendering to the pace that is most true rather than the pace I assume will take the least amount of time or effort. Letting it all be untidy means noticing where I'm projecting an idealized version of the present onto the real version of it and choosing to turn my back towards the real. Letting it all be untidy means seeing the grief and longing as intricate pieces of a whole instead of deterrence from fully living, from growing, from thriving. Letting it all be untidy means trusting the unpaved path, the unclear outcome, the longing to do the thing before having clarity around how it will go. Letting it all be untidy means looking at the pile of dishes on the unswept floor and seeing them as visions of tending to what matters most instead of proof of my inadequacy. Letting it all be untidy means making room for setbacks and confusion, for impatience and for envy, for the things we're told to either hide or quickly clean up. And letting it all be untidy means allowing what is true to be true within myself, within my relationships, within my work and my life. Because sometimes what matters isn't tidy. Sometimes what is true isn't neat. And perhaps that isn't a problem as much as it is a reflection of being more alive than I would be if I spent all my energy tidying instead of living. So may you find what's important and let it lack a certain neatness. May you find what matters right inside the tangle. May you find the aliveness right inside the swirl. And may it be so for the greater good of all. Amen. One last hymn to sing then. Number 83 in your purple books, "Just as Long as I Have Breath." I chose this one because it echoes the quote from Tara Brach that we heard at the start. There is something wonderfully bold and liberating about saying yes to our entire imperfect and messy life. Again, stand or sit as you prefer to sing hymn number 83. "Just as Long as I Have Breath."
Thank you.
Just time for a few announcements now. Thanks as ever to Ramona for tech hosting and Janine for co-hosting at home. Thanks to Hannah and Juliet for our readings today. Thanks to Holly and Peter for the lovely music. For those of you here in person, do hang around for a cuppa and a chat and a slice of apple and sultana cake, my personal favourite, after the service. That'll be served in the hall next door. Patricia's doing that. Thanks, Patricia, and thanks to Hannah for the greeting. Oh, David, is David been seconded? Thanks, David. If you're joining online, I encourage you to hang around and have a chat with Janine and everyone else after the service. We've got various small group activities going on during the week. There's still space for our online contemplative spiritual gatherings, Heart and Soul. That's tonight or Friday at 7 o'clock. This week's theme is Dressing Up. From the autumn, we're going to restart a once-a-month in-person Heart and Soul. That'll be on the third Wednesday of each month from the 18th of October. Keep an eye on the emails for that. Looking further ahead, we're planning to have our Gathering the Water service on the 3rd of September. This is a kind of traditional regathering that we do after people have been variously gallivanting over the summer months. So if you do go anywhere in the next month or so, a day trip even, bring back a little drop of water and we'll use that in that ceremony. You can always just bring stuff from the tap if need be. We are hoping to have a bring and share lunch that day as well, but we need a volunteer to organise it. So if you're willing to sign people up to bring food and to help organise the tidy up operation on the day, do get in touch with me and we'll work that out. We will only have the lunch if someone steps up, so let me know. I also want to draw your attention to the fact that we're trying to recruit an audiovisual assistant to help us with video editing and once a month tech hosting. The details were in the Friday email. We think it's about 6 hours a week on average. Please do pass that on to anyone you think might be interested. Next Sunday, Sarah and Heidi will be leading our service on Messages from Butterflies. And details of all these activities are on the back of your order of service and they're in the Friday email. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you to keep in touch, look out for each other and nurture supportive connections where you can. So just time for our closing words and closing music now. The worship of this gathered community is now ended. Go in peace, embraced by the light and warmth of our gathering. Go in love, ready to make your way in this messy and complex world. Go in beauty, shining forth through the struggle like a lamp for liberation. And let us share in the ongoing worship of the community in dispersion, taking what we've found here back out into the world and passing it on for the greater good of all. Amen.